Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions. Today we're here to talk about guest sleeping solutions. So I suppose, Audrey, in today's world, we have smaller houses. There's restrictions on space. When we have people coming to visit, maybe we're not lucky enough that we have got a guest bedroom or multiple guest bedrooms. So we need to be a little bit more creative. We're coming up with sleeping solutions. And I suppose before we go into the different options that are available, maybe what should we think about to begin with? Blank sheet of paper, what do we need to think about first off?
Yeah, well, I think what I've observed is a lot of people are using rooms in a very multifunctional way when it comes to, you know, how they accommodate their guests. So it might be that a room that is normally used as an office in the home or maybe a playroom in the home is then doubling up as a guest bedroom and maybe just a handful of times a year for a few nights at a time when people come to stay. So I think one of the first things that people often think about when they say they need to, you know, have a solution for a guest staying is at the sofa bed. But that's not always necessarily the best solution. So I quite like to sort of bring in a few other options to the table in the beginning and just look at really, you know, how is that space being used and what is the best solution for it. So one other idea is a wall bed that can be quite useful. I don't know if you've seen any of those before.
I have. I suppose taking a step back in terms of when you're even thinking about what solution, how often do people maybe rush out and get a solution? And the reason I ask is that I have a sofa bed and I thought I'd have all of these people staying over. But actually, in reality, I've only used the sofa bed like once, maybe twice a year. And I'm now thinking, gosh, I really planned my whole room around having this sofa bed. I restricted my choices of sofas across the market to ones that were sofa beds. And I probably didn't need to. I probably could have gotten away with like a blow up mattress for the amount of times that I use it. So is there a certain amount of times we should be using it? And I know there's no probably right or wrong answer to that, but in terms of investing into a solution.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, for me, like I would think it's really important to look at the use of the room when you don't have the person stay and make sure that you're not compromising that too much by rushing in to kind of, thinking as your example that, you know, you need that sofa bed. Like, for example, you know, I've seen people where if they're using an office and they need the guest sleeping solution and they put a sofa bed in, then they discover that actually they don't even ever sit on that sofa normally. So it's taking up a huge amount of space in that room on a day-to-day basis when they don't need it. So that's an example where, you know, maybe the wall bed option would be better because that's up against the wall. It's not taking up a lot of floor space. But, you know, having said that, then we need to make sure that the items that are in the room on a day-to-day basis, the furniture, can be moved out of the way adequately for that wall bed to come down and take up, you know, the space that a double bed would occupy in the room. But I think the starting point of what the room is generally being used for and getting that right, you know, is equally important.
So that makes complete sense in terms of right, this main function of this room is the office. Do I want to have a sofa in there that I never use? How else should we think about it from the perspective of maybe who the guest is? So if I think about it, it's mainly my friends that stay over when I do use it. And, you know, they're on the younger side-ish. We're still young, I'm going to make that claim. Yeah. Versus if it was my parents, I think I'd like to have a more, you know, stable bed rather than the sofa bed where the mattress is a little bit more flimsy to ensure they get a better night's sleep. Do you find that people look at the more permanent solution if it's their parents, for example, coming to stay with them?
Yeah, I think I think definitely that is a good consideration. Like, sofa beds vary so much, and, you know, the sort of more expensive end of the market, you can get something with a much better mattress, and so that's great if you are needing to consider that you know, it's a lot more bed like. I mean, it's one of the things I love about the wall bed solution, because you can get a proper mattress in there, so it is as good as, you know, a permanent bed when it's down and in use. But then, yeah, I think if it's, you know, younger people who are happy to sleep on blow up beds, then I would think, well, then why sort of, you know, invest all this in a solution that, you know, isn't probably going to be appreciated to the same level, you know. I mean, another thing I would say is, you know, sort of the idea of bunks can be quite fun. So, you know, especially with people with kids, if they want to accommodate extra children for sleepovers, or, you know, families who come to stay with their kids, then it can be good. Even lately, I've started, you know, looking at like triple bunk beds. You can have three in a row, or bunks that maybe have trundle beds that come out as well. So extra ways to get
so what exactly is a trundle bed?
Yeah, so a trundle bed is a bed where you've got a bed essentially under your bed that you pull out. So sometimes you see this, say, on the bottom bunk of, like, you'll have a normal sort of double bunk bed, but then at the bottom you pull out a bed, so it means that you can have a third person there. Other times you see it where it's just a single bed with the bed that pulls out underneath, but it may be that you can then have that bed on the same level. So essentially you create a double bed. And other times it's just designed that you pull it out and have it as a second single bed in the room. So that can be good, say, if you've got maybe a box room, say if it is a dedicated guest room, but it's a very, very small room. And if you were to put a permanent double bed in there, you literally might not be able to walk around the room. If you've got one of these trundle beds, it means that on a day-to-day basis, it can sort of take up half that space. And then you only kind of fill the room, you know, with a double bed on the occasions that you need.
And I love the idea that, I suppose, if it's under another bed, it's still in a bedroom per se, so it doesn't feel like that. You mentioned before that bunk beds and triple bunk beds. Are they just for kids?
Well, I don't know. People talk about, you know, maybe on sleeper trains, you can have, you know, three high. And, you
exactly.
know, I mean,
or hostels,
you know,
we've all slept in a bunk bed in a hostel. It didn't do us any harm.
Yeah, exactly. And on the rare occasion where I've slept on quite a high bunk, I have to say there's something quite magical about it. Just being up away from all the kind of furniture, you know, at ground level, and you're just kind of up near the ceiling. It can be quite restful and peaceful. And I have to say, I am a big fan, where space permits, of creating like a loft bed, I suppose you call it, or like a mini mezzanine almost. So if you've got the ceiling height, where you could actually have a room that maybe you do need to use as an office or a playroom or some other function on a general day-to-day basis. But then, you know, you can have this platform up overhead where you can go up and, you know, I mean, it's great for a kid's bedroom, but also great if you have guests then that you want to occasionally, you know, have sleep in a bed for the night.
So I have to ask, are you the upper or the lower bunk bed?
If I had bunk beds, I'd definitely want to be on the top bunk, yeah.
Oh, you would? Okay. Yeah. I feel like I'm getting old. Yeah. I want the bottom bunk. Oh. When I was in hostels more lately, I was going for the granny option. Minding my jumping up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and want to jump up the stairs. Yeah. So beds are really interesting. And, you know, we've talked about, I suppose, the triple bunk beds and the trundle beds and the loft beds. They're sort of probably more in bedrooms, although the loft bed, maybe not, because if that's raised, you can still use that room. You can have a desk underneath.
Yes.
You can use it really functionally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I suppose when we look at sofa beds, it tends to be the one that most people jump to. And we've obviously given a lot more options. But what should we consider in the sofa bed, and more particularly around the mattress?
Well, I do think, yeah, if you're concerned with the comfort, then, you know, it is good to maybe, you know, spend a little bit more on just getting the right one, certainly try them out. And also the consideration of how it opens and closes. Some of them are more difficult than others to operate. And if you're going to be on your own opening and closing it, you want to make sure that you can manage that okay. And then obviously you've got the consideration around the fact that you'll need to make the bed. And then when it's back in its sofa format, you need to put that bedding somewhere. So if it's in a living room situation, a solution I often suggest is if you can have a footstool, like an ottoman, sort of large footstool, upholstered piece in the room that has storage in it. So often these have lift up lids. That can be an ideal place to put like a duvet and a couple of pillows inside. Otherwise, if you've got maybe a sideboard in the room, or if you've got a room that has like alcoves and a chimney breast, you know, where typically you might build in some furniture in the sides, yeah. You could use that for storage.
Maybe a blanket box with a cushion on the top, yes, or a window, yeah. A window seat as well. Sometimes they lift up.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite blessed because in my sofa bed, I have a chaise and the chaise lifts up.
Oh, yeah.
So I can keep my duvet in there and the cushions.
Yeah.
And it means that you're saving space because otherwise I frankly wouldn't have any place to store it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so that's I suppose true. Storage is the interesting one because we've talked about, you know, wall beds or sofa beds. But if you're opening out that sofa and you've got a coffee table in the way, we need to make sure that we can push away the furniture that's typically in the room to make way for that item once it's pushed out into the bed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that's where the ottoman idea can sort of double up again, as well as storing the bedding. Then you can also use that as the coffee table in your space by putting a tray on top when you're in sofa format and, you know, be able to kind of put drinks on it and things. And then when you fold out your bed, particularly if it's an ottoman on wheels, it's easier to move out of the way. So I definitely think, yeah, probably staying away from sort of chunkier, heavy coffee tables is a good idea in that situation.
And of course, one reason why I particularly love the idea of a wall bed, I don't know, there's something playful with it. I actually had a friend whose older sister had one growing up that her dad made, and there was all the shelving on it.
Oh, yeah.
So you could actually store ornaments and your books and do your homework, and then you can obviously push it down in the evening. But it was a lot of hassle having to move away all of the items off the shelves. Yeah. Is that still used?
Well, yeah, I mean, that just makes me think there's actually wall beds now that you can get that have shelves and even a desk if you want. And you can leave certain items on the surfaces, like a laptop, say, closed on the desk, for example. And when you pull down the wall bed, then the surfaces of the desk and the shelves stay horizontal. So they're on sort of hinged fixtures. And as you pull down the bed, they stay in that position. So, I mean, that's, you know, so amazing. I mean, it's actually hard to believe that can actually work until you see it in action, you know. But so that can be a good way to bring in an even more multifunctional aspect into the room, because obviously then that desk that you normally sit at when the wall bed is up, you don't need to then move it out of the way and have that space in the room for it, you know, when you pull the wall bed down.
And wall beds also get extra bonus points for the fact that I can leave my bed made and that my duvet is there and my cushions are there. I don't need the extra storage.
Yeah, so you can actually have your bed fully made and then have, generally they have straps that, you know, sort of just ties your duvet to the mattress while you push the bed up then into its upright position. And it means then when you lower it down, it's all fully made. Because a lot of these beds are actually designed for daily use. So, you know, we're talking about it in a guest accommodation situation, but actually I've been in studio flats where people are living in one small space where they put the wall bed up every morning and then they pull out their little table and chairs, their armchair, and they use the room then like that for the rest of the day, and then they pull it back down in the evening. So you certainly don't want to have to kind of make your bed every evening in that situation.
Yeah, and it's particularly appealing if I think of having a late night spontaneous people staying over if they've missed the last train home. The last thing I want to do is make up a sofa bed if I can pull it down and they can flop onto it.
Yeah,
that's pretty appealing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a good solution.
There's ways also, I suppose, with wall beds of actually making them more into bedrooms, because you can actually have decorations in the area in which you pull down the wall bed. Have you seen those in terms of, be it a big you know, a headboard or some funky wallpaper.
Yeah, I have. So these companies I've seen where they have the options for different fabrics on that back panel inside the bed, so it looks like a really big headboard when you pull the bed down. And I have also myself actually wallpapered the inside of a wall bed before, which gave just that extra drama when you pull it down. You're not expecting this big pattern in the room,
but it's again, a surprise.
Yeah, and it's something you, if you're only using it temporarily, you can afford to be a bit more daring than maybe you would be if you had to look at that pattern every day. So it's quite a nice thing.
I like the sense of being a bit daring and having that little surprise maybe behind it.
Yeah.
So which one would you be the most a fan of if you could go for your sofa bed or your wall bed if you have that room?
Well, I think it really does depend on what it is you need to use that room for. Like I said earlier, kind of getting that right, you know. But I do think, yeah, if you want to maximise your floor space, then the wall bed is a great option, or the sort of loft bed that we were talking about earlier. But if you genuinely feel that you're going to use a sofa in that space, well, then, yeah, the sofa bed is probably the way to go.
And I must admit, I have no idea how much a wall bed would cost. So I think we all have an idea of maybe what a sofa bed would cost. But what would you be looking at, I suppose, at the base level, and then maybe what you can even walk to?
I mean, I think for a good wall bed, you would be looking at, you know, well over £1,000 pounds for a good solution. There may be cheaper ones you could get, but it is one of these things that, you know, needs to be done right and secured right to the wall, because obviously otherwise,
it could end in disaster.
The bed just
eats you up. You get pushed up into the alcove.
Some people have heard scary stories of wall beds in the past. So I think one
that was on a James Bond movie, wasn't it?
I think that's it.
They pushed her up in and she was locked in there.
So I think, obviously, the safety aspect of it is really important, but also the ease of how it is to pull that bed down. So if it's like a hydraulic system, you know, it means that it's actually very easy for one person to pull that down and put it back up, and no risk of sort of it slamming down and, you know, landing on your foot or something like that. So that's why I think, you know, it's something you could go down maybe the custom built route, but you need to make sure that these systems are in place. But certainly for the off-the-shelf ones, I think,
that was going to be my next question. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a wall bed in a furniture shop. So are they all custom made depending upon the space? Is it specialist suppliers then?
So there's the one I know most about actually is an Italian company called Clei, C-L-E-I. And they do a lot of these systems we were talking about earlier with the desks and the shelves attached. So that is essentially an off-the-shelf solution, if you like. I mean, there's plenty of options within that as to whether you want those extras on it or whether it's just the basic one that you go for. But then I have seen where people have done their own kind of more bespoke versions of a wall bed, where maybe then they're also building in cupboards, you know. So instead of the wall bed itself just standing out into the room as an object, if you're actually putting, say, cupboards either side, you can make it into a whole wall of what looks
like a
complete wall of storage, but unknown to, you know, somebody who sees it for the first time, actually a whole panel of that lifts down.
And of course, storage is always welcome. You can never have too much storage.
That's it,
So that's really fascinating. I suppose I never really thought of things when I thought of like temporary sleeping solutions for guests outside of the sofa bed. And I think it's probably most people fall into that trap. You think it's the only option out there, but plenty of other options.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it was great chatting about all of that with you. And thank you all for joining us on the DNA of Home Interiors today for our discussion on guest sleeping solutions. We hope you gained inspiration on ways to accommodate your guests when they come to stay.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out Audrey Whelan's masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.